Hello, everyone, and welcome to New Consciousness, New World. I'm going to start out the show as usual with something that we're going to have to do every show, and that's just start the show with the vibrational power of music, and specifically the power of God consciousness, a special vibration given to me in a moment of deep sorrow and trouble and tribulations within and without, which, and through this song, through the power of the healing of this song, through the vibration and the harmony and the words themselves and the message and the divine presence that gave me this gift of love. Use it to help all of you who are listening to heal and to bring in more light into your being and also into the world. So with due respect, I'm going to sing the song, Take My Hand. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you just how much I care? You are the apple of my eye, and I will always be by your side, leading you home, leading you home, leading you home, leading you home. Take my hand and I will guide you. Take my hand, never be alone. Take my hand, take my hand, and I will keep you safe. I will hold you steady. Take my hand and come on to me. There I will be beside you, always beside you. Welcome to the show, New Consciousness, New World. And for those of you who have seen our announcements, I've sent out several emails announcing the interview with Akiana Kramerick, who's been on our show before. She is a child prodigy, and having been raised in an atheist family, she became, at the age of 4, a believer in God through her own personal experience of being taken up by the God consciousness, the God presence. For 3 hours, she disappeared from her home. The police came to investigate, and they could not find her anywhere. Akiana, from that moment on, began talking about God, and not only that, but she began to draw at the age of 4. So we were intending to have Akiana here on the show for interviewing, and because of her travel schedule, her flight was delayed, so she's not able to be on the show today. We are rescheduling her for maybe the next or the show following that. So within the next couple of shows, we should have her here. She's a wonderful being of light. She's extremely gifted. She is filled with joy and light to the world. And she's one of those people, those rare gifted people, that just with her presence, her vibration, and her light, she impacts everything around us. In the meantime, while we wait for her interview, please go ahead and go to my website, researchcia.com. Under the community section and the article section of my site, there is a specific special article dedicated to Akiana, who she is, what she does, and two of her beautiful, gorgeous, divinely inspired paintings that are almost like lifelike. It's just like incredible to look at the images. I specifically favor the blue ones, and that's why you'll find one of them on the website. It also contains a link to her actual website where you can see all of her paintings throughout the years. She is currently turned 19 and she's continued to travel the world inspiring herself through the visiting of different places and of different sites that she's called to visit to paint these paintings and to take beautiful pictures that help to inspire her in bringing more light and wisdom and poetry into the world. So I invite you to return again, and my apologies for not being able to have her here. Unfortunately, it's beyond our control, and maybe it's in divinely intended that she'd be here at a different time. So with that in mind, let's continue to today's topic for the show. We're going to be talking about chemtrails. I'm not sure if all of you know what chemtrails are. A few years ago, did not have any idea what chemtrails were. Two or three years ago, though, I began to hear about chemtrails, what they were, and how they impacted you, me, our environment, and life on the planet as a whole. So I thought it's very important because the purpose of this show is oriented and dedicated to the awakening of the human mind to the divine presence and activation of functioning at the multidimensional level. And with that in mind, we cover a variety of topics, and that is also in bringing awareness of what's happening in our environment and taking an active stance in correcting it. So we will talk first of what they are, what has motivated me to specifically bring this up at this show, and then a way that we can transform these chemtrails into not impacting the environment, not impacting us, and basically nullifying their negative effects. Because like the word chemtrails says, the word chemtrails come from chemical trails. And basically, the chemical trails, in the same way as contrails, which they derive from the two words, condensation trails, which airplanes sometimes produce when in flight, the chemical trails are intended to bring in to our planet chemical elements that actually can be harmful to us, because one of the components of the chemtrails is aluminum that's incorporated in the form of gas that when sprayed actually falls to the ground and not only contaminates the air, but also it contaminates the ground and as a result of that, our water supplies. The other thing that you will find very interesting about chemtrails is that when they appear in the sky, they don't appear by magic. I'll explain how it happens. But when they show the sky, usually they're followed by sprouting, I guess is a way to putting it, of illnesses in the area, whether it be allergies, colds, or similar side effects of people not feeling well, because it affects different people in different ways. It depends on our own personal immune system and weaknesses within our energy fields and our physical energy bodies as well. So let's talk a little bit more about what chemtrails are first. And basically, the term of chemtrails coming from the words chemical trail, in the same fashion that the term contrail comes from the words condensation trail, is a term coined to suggest that contrails are formed by something other than natural process of engine exhaustion hitting the cold air in the atmosphere, right? Proponents of the theory of the chemtrails characterize these phenomena as streams that persist for hours, and that with their belief, they form kind of a grid format or parallel stripe pattern, which eventually blends together, causing a large cloud formation. And in sometimes in this cloud formation, you can actually see visible color spectrum in the streams, usually concentration of sky tracks in a single area or lingering tracks left by unmarked or military planes flying at, you know, altitudes that are not typical in certain areas. Now, the scientific community does not believe or refuses to acknowledge the existence of contrails. And we're going to cover a little bit to see if who is right. You know, are the scientists right? Or is this a conspiracy theory kind of thing? Or is there some truth to that? Because I think it's important, again, to develop an awareness and understanding of what's going on in our environment and how it impacts our everyday daily lives, how it impacts our ground, our water, and our own body, mental activity. And the purpose of these chemtrails, there's different beliefs, but let's look a little more more closely as how the scientists perceive the contrails. So again, the contrails, which is different from chemtrails, is the condensation or vapor trails that are long, thin aircraft, man-made clouds that sometimes form behind an aircraft. Their formation is most often triggered by water vapor in the exhaust or aircraft engines. Now, because planes are flying in all kinds of directions and they're not all leaving at the same time, contrails that are created from condensation in reality are occasional occurrences in the sky, where chemtrails, on the other hand, is a persistent parallel lines very far to a, you know, to a certain distance apart, and they're all very straight, almost like they have been drawn with a ruler, but they're wider, and the cloud formed is like a little bumpy kind of wave effect, and then they're parallel, and then the clouds just begin to expand and merge with each other, creating a tunnel-like effect over the area. And it blocks the sunlight for a while until those particles gradually fall to the ground, basically. And then the sky clears up and we have sun again. So let's look a little bit more at this. Now, these don't have the contrails that are created by the aircraft due to condensation are occasional, and they have random patterns because one plane is going in one direction, the other plane is going in the other direction. It just depends on, and it doesn't happen all the time. And it's usually a much thinner, and it's much higher up in the atmosphere because the planes are usually have reached already optimum altitude of the desired, you know, for flight purposes. The chemtrails, these, on the other hand, have very, very structured and very specific grid-like patterns. So some of them go like a grid across and down and up, while others just go parallel, you know, and this, the reason I'm addressing this is because it's an issue that has been impacting us for the last few years. I remember specifically in Northern California, there was a contract that was being paid by the government of over $300 million, and this contract had a duration period of 15 years where chemicals were being released into the atmosphere by planes flying at high altitudes, and the purpose of these chemicals were to eliminate a moth that, according to the experts in this program, was a danger to our plants and our vegetables and all the products, the produce that we consume on a daily basis. So this specific project started in the northern part of California several years ago, and through the Thrive movement, the members of the state of the area in California, I don't remember the city right off the top of my head, but it's in Northern California. I think it's a little bit below San Francisco, in between San Francisco and Sacramento. And during that period, the people in the area united and formed themselves, organized themselves through the Thrive movement, communicating, seeking help, getting legal advice, whatever it took. And they were able to stop the release of these chemicals into their atmosphere. What they found with a closer look, this moth didn't create any problems for any of the produce that were grown in the area, and it was very harmless. As a matter of fact, it didn't create any damage of any kind. Now, the experts were saying that these chemicals were not toxic. However, they recommended that people stay inside during the period that these were being sprayed for the next 2 or 3 hours or so. The interesting part is these chemicals were not harmful, but whenever they were sprayed, coincidence of coincidence, the birds fell from the sky dead. Wow, for chemicals that are not harmful, that's kind of an interesting effect, right? Well, let's see the mystery and how it spans out. So through the Thrive movement, they were able to stop this. And one of the interesting comments from the group of the people who were actually had the contract and were releasing the chemicals, they were, we thought there would be some resistance. We did not realize that they could be so well organized. So that for that reason, I joined and created a solutions group within the Northern Virginia area for the Thrive, which is Research Center for Inner Awareness Thrive Solutions Group. And you can also find that on my website or on thrivemovement.com's website as well if you go under solutions and put in the zip code for 22152, which is specifically this area. Interesting enough, what happens now is these chemicals are being released without any authorization of any kind on our affecting our soil, our sky, our air, our food, and our water, which are key things for the survival of the human species. It is believed also that these chemicals impact the ability to reproduce. Now, why are these chemicals being released? According to the authorities, they are being released for the purpose of learning to control our environment. Basically, climate control would be the best way to put it. So, what is being sprayed is aluminum into the atmosphere and causing that to control the environment of our planet. What has been happening actually, and there are studies about this, you can actually go online and do some research on your own if you don't have to believe it, me, or take my word for it. I would strongly recommend you do your own research. It's key for, understanding what's going on around us and not just taking everybody's word for it. So I strongly recommend that you do some searching on Google. But it's understood that the purpose of these is to control the environment. Now, why would you want to control the environment? Well, a very good reason, obviously, is to be able to prevent severe storms that would damage our crops and our food supply, right? However, when you take into account, it can also be used in other ways, especially if it's applied from the perspective of control and hidden agendas. And I'm just sharing with you information. I'm not asking you to believe in any of this. I'm just providing you two parts of the puzzle, and it's up to you to wake up and smell the coffee and decide for yourself what is true and what is not. Okay. So basically, when you what has been indicated through some of the research that you can find online is that they have done so much damage with these chemicals that are being released into our atmosphere in the hope of controlling our environment, that they are actually destabilizing our environment. That does not only impact the weather, it also impacts it impacts basically the north and south pole balancing of the planet and how the planet is thrown off its balance and how the poles can actually shift by these changes. Because if you think about it, we are impacting with everything we do the energy. And whether we recognize it or not, that is what we are doing. So when that happens, you actually do affect the energy of the planet, which in turn affects the physical environment of the planet and can throw off the gravitational fields and the gravitational pull, making things shift on our planet and impacting the orientation of the Earth and therefore destabilizing the what is considered the North and South Pole at this point, which has already shifted to some degree. If you do some research and some reading online, the poles have to some degree shifted, and they will continue to shift. There are those who believe that due to the fact that it's the end of the world, I don't subscribe to that theory, but there are those who do, then it won't matter how we take advantage or utilize or burn out the natural resources we have. Those are the people with the fixed mentality, the mentality of scarcity, and so I got to have everything I can because otherwise if I don't have it, somebody else will, and then I'll be without. We have to focus on the greater mentality, the growth mentality, where there is enough of that for everyone. And therefore, we have to allow ourselves to trust and know that we can bring things back into balance. And so the purpose of this, these people don't care about burning out all our resources and burning out our resources. Now, what you have to think is a lot of the resources we're using for energy, like oil and carbon and oils and even coal and even silver, gold, all these precious metals, these are all on our planet and they create like a stabilization system, pretty much like our own body system. When you take into account the energy grids within the body, these resources like gold, crystals, oil, are a form of resources that the planet has to maintain and balance the entire environment. Every element represents and has a purpose to balance and maintain life on our planet. When we, through mining and through burning up of the resources like oil, coal, and precious metals, when we dig those up and we take them out of the earth, it's like clogging an artery, or worse, collapsing an artery, or even worse, affecting the crystalline structures within our blood system. Because if you think about it, the crystals are the crystalline structures within the earth that we have within our own body, and impacting the natural elements required to sustain life on the planet. So unless we bring those things into balance, our life is impacted. And these people are of the belief that we need to burn them up because it's not going to make any difference. We're going to have the end of the world in a few years. So heck, why worry about it, right? Well, it's not going to be the end of the world. And hopefully it is going to be a much better world. So taking that into account, what they're also trying to do is contaminate the planet so that it is not viable for most of its life on Earth. And the youth of today being affected through time to the exposure of these chemicals are finding themselves at a higher rate of sterility than in normal back in my generation or my parents' generation or my grandparents' generation. So the current youth of today have less are less capable of reproducing than they were in my generation or my parents or my grandparents' generation. This is how all these things are impacting our life, our planet. Okay, so why am I bringing this up? Because I know I have mentioned chemtrails before. The scientists trying to pretend that nothing is happening, okay? Well, this specifically, the weekend of Thanksgiving, I was working on a very, very large project that I was working for my business. It was a proposal that took me about 3 weeks to write up because it was a very large proposal. And I was working very long hours through those 3 weeks, where sometimes I was staying up 12 hours, sometimes I was staying up a little longer, sometimes I was able to finish a little sooner. And specifically on the morning of November 24th, Monday before Thanksgiving, I had pulled an all-nighter, which ended up being about 35 hours straight of working because I was trying to hand it in on that day, and I did. So I was working through the entire night, and I realized that it went from dark into lighter and lighter and lighter until it was day out. And this was about 7 o'clock in the morning. And I just took a minute to catch my breath, and I looked at my window, which is directly diagonally to my left. And on the left-hand side, there's this beautiful little park area of grass and an old, huge trees. Now, given it's almost winter, well, that we are actually in winter, the leaves are not in the trees, so I have a clearer view of the sky. And so I just took a minute to, like, just to sit here and daydream, and I noticed two lines directly in front of me in the window as I was looking out the window. And then I moved over a little more to the left and glanced on the right side of the window because there's a larger opening. There are not as many trees in front. And I was looking up at the sky and I noticed several more lines. And then as I got up and actually went closer and closer to the window because my desk is between me and the window, I looked more and more to the right side, which is the east. And I saw the plane still making the lines going in towards the north and continuing to make the lines. They were so perfectly made. Like I said, it almost looked like a ruler. These trails were definitely hold the same formation that you've seen online about different pictures of chemtrails. They're identical in their shape, their style of cloud formation, and they were drawn almost like with a ruler going from north to south. So as I looked, I began to notice that they were very wide, probably from where I was, it could be about 3 inches in size from my view. Obviously, in the sky, they were much larger. And as I looked, continued to look at them, I noticed that they were expanding. This was at 7 a.m. So as I returned back to my work, well, I decided actually to take some pictures. So I'll be including an article on this and incorporating the pictures that I took also onto the website. So be on the lookout for the chemtrail article under the community section and article section. And it was just interesting that I took several pictures in between the lines of the window because the lines get in the way, the frame of the window gets in the way. And I continued to take some pictures. And then I went back to my work. And as I went back to my work, I noticed that it started, I mean, originally it was shining when it was 7 o'clock in the morning. There was a nice, bright, sunny day. And, you know, And it was just beautiful outside, green, blue sky, very nice. And then as I look back around 8 o'clock, which was an hour later, the whole sky was completely covered. And the interesting thing is sometimes when the sky is covered, you don't have a consistent cloud formation. You have, like you would in the sky, you have clouds that are higher, clouds that are lower, and there's a specific cloud-like formation, sort of like a balloon with no perfect circumference, but rather a jagged circumference of little circles. Well, with this one, everything was smooth, like a painter had just taken a little flat piece of a wood and just flattened out the clouds and smoothed them out, so it created a perfect semicircular type of tunnel that completely covered the area, and there was no sun or blue skies in sight. Everything was completely white, but not a dark white like you do have in a storm, but a nice white. And then about an hour or so later, so this was like 9 o'clock in the morning, it returned back to its regular sunny bright blue. And I just realized this is not normal. This is not the way clouds behave. And this is not the look and feel of regular traditional clouds. So obviously, something is different. And the fact, I mean, that it just looked like somebody drew the trails online was also a very interesting thing to look, because it, again, it has certain non-random appearance. It looks like it was designed. It looks like somebody told the plane, fly in this direction, turn right, fly in this direction, turn left, creating a grid, or go north, then fly south. Go north, then fly south. And they're perfect and parallel. Go so many miles and do a back turn south, and then go so many miles and do a back turn to, north. So it this is not the natural appearance of what we consider regular traditional contrails. And again, the main problem with this is that there is a formation of aluminum that exhausts, it comes through the exhaust from the jet trails, and then it expands into cloud deflecting sunlight. The aluminum eventually falls to the ground. And as it falls to the ground, citizens have been saying for as long as 20 years that what amounts to the identical program stand is already, it, this is an ongoing thing. And there are geoengineers and people who are actually doing studies on this that don't believe in the regular explanation that the governments are giving us. Now, there are people who believe this is an attempt of the government to control the environment. It is also an attempt of the government to control the population. By creating population control through chemical, I guess, contamination. And there are those who believe that well, it's those who believe there's no such thing and this is all a make-believe and it's a conspiracy theory. You have to decide for yourself what it is. Now, let's look at this is the interesting thing that these things change the pH in our environment, in the air, in our body, to alarming levels of aluminum found and aluminum has oxide, has actually contaminated entire regions. And it's affecting the crops and the nutritional in the food resources in those areas. And a lot of people point to the water and the air and the soil, and they test these resources to determine how these are being impacted. So, is this really something that it's a conspiracy thing, or is there really some truth to all of this? And what do you, have you looked at the sky lately? I mean, I remember a few, when I first heard about chemtrails, I started occasionally looking up at the sky. You know, we're so preoccupied with our lives, our daily lives, that we just go on and just wish for the best in a way. And we don't have time because we're kept busy through distractions or through work or through needs, that we rarely take time to enjoy what's around us and to notice how things are happening. Or even if we notice, not time to think about what that means and how, is there something to it, or is it something that it just happens to be there? Is it natural, or is it caused? Now, some people believe it's the government. Some people believe it's the corporations that actually are in charge of some of the black projects, which no one knows what's going on. It's like a hidden factor of the population that reports to no one and is regulated by no one. And then, of course, there are the people or families or owners of these organizations that in turn invest great amounts of money in campaigns, political campaigns, to influence, in effect, the representatives of our government, the media, and of course, our whole social structure as a whole. And that's how it's all interconnected and how it's all being manipulated and controlled. And one of the things that Thrive indicates that needs to, one of the things left for the new order to take place, again, it's for you to believe or not is your choice. I'm just providing you information as I have found it. So the question is this this is the last, based on some of the documentation that the Thrive movement has, this is one of the last things, the last steps in world domination, controlling the internet. Now, let me give you a little understanding on how the internet is being controlled. Google is one of those resources. It dominates more than 60% of the internet, probably closer to 68, maybe even 70%. It requires that all organizations have a physical address which can be taxed, controlled, and therefore terminated as needed. As a matter of fact, when I was doing the research to talk to you guys about this, there is a chemtrail.cc site which had an incredible, powerful video on chemtrails and some of the issues with these chemtrails. And it has been closed down. The channel was literally closed down by YouTube. Now, considering there are out there commercials, movies, ads that are continuously lying to us about products, you wonder why they're not doing anything about that. But they want to hide or prevent the sharing of information that could be important or crucial to for us, for our existence, for life on the planet as we know it. You wonder why these people would be so concerned about something so insignificant and yet not be concerned with a bigger problem, unless they're co-participants in that process, part of the whole picture or part of the puzzle, you might say. Now, there are, this is the other thing that happens with the chemtrails, that people report getting sick shortly after. As a matter of fact, if you've ever heard the show on ETs with James Gilliland, he talks about his area of the country being also, where planes are flying over, and shortly after, kids report in school that are sick, and there's large groups of people affected in the area. So I'm not saying who's to blame, because that would be unrealistic. Obviously, I do believe that the government is involved. I do believe the military is involved. Personally, I believe that the people that are really controlling this situation are the people who are, to some degree, both in the military, the government, and especially the corporations. In reality, I talk about this in my book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, which I've mentioned before. It talks about how at one point our planet will be controlled and dominated and governed in reality by the corporations. For a period, they will utilize the government to establish themselves at head of the ruling class. And then, as they no longer have a need for the government, and even possibly for a military having created their own, they will get rid of that as well, because it will just be a way of eating on their resources. And they're very particular about reserving the resources. So, those long white streams of persistent cloud haze commonly blasted into the blue skies by unmarked airplanes are not your typical contrails, says Swedish Green Party leader Pernilla Hagbert. As reported by the Swedish paper, Katrineholm's Kuriren Hagbert, the first major political leader to come forward on the issue, has openly admitted that these unusual cloud trails, which fail to dissipate like normal contrails do, are actually a toxic mix of chemicals, viruses, and metals that she has collectively referred to as chemtrails. According to Hagbert, spelled H-A-G-B-E-R-G, the sprayings are a joint endeavor by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. Interesting. My website is Research CIA. That was the intent of countering the effect of that energy. And the U.S. National Security Agency, NSA, as well as the Swedish government in their own country, to modify atmospheric conditions via deliberate aerosol spraying efforts. Again, the problem is that they are not able to really predict how these aerosol efforts are affecting the environment, and they're creating actually holes in our zone level. So, you know, basically, in a way, it's like using hairspray and creating holes in our air zone level. So this is very important for us. It includes the dangerous mix of aerosols, various chemical components, viruses, and viral fragments, and metals such as aluminum and barium, which have really negative impacts on our environment. Now, this is the interesting thing. Sweden is not the only place that people are recognizing there's a problem. There are places in the United States also, certain areas more than others, and you would think that they wouldn't affect areas like the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, considering that a lot of the heads of government and very influential corporations live in the area. So you would think that they would try to protect themselves. Well, that's what I thought too. But interesting enough, I've been looking up at the sky and I've been finding these trails. And if you want to pay attention for the next month, try doing that. See what happens. And if you want, please upload it to our blog, Research CIA, in the community section. Upload your pictures, upload your comments, and upload your input on these, because we're all doing research. We're all trying to learn. And the more we work together, the better it is for everyone. Okay, so even, for example, in places like Long Island, there is a legislation to stop geoengineering. The sky receives huge citizen response. This is 55 minutes of citizens asking their local government to enact legislation to stop these treasonous spraying taking place in there in our skies. There are a lot more people speaking out than just for this. And the interesting thing, a few years ago, people were more silent and they were less proactive about these changes. But now people are recognizing and they're paying attention because the word is getting out either through people like myself, radio shows, or online, and people are taking an active posture in recognizing that there is a problem and recognizing that we need to be active participants in managing our government and managing our country, in managing the people who are supposed to be representing us, which I do not feel are representing us at this point. And there was much action at the local level to follow and set forth the Suffolk County, Long Island, and get our skies blue again. After that, we need trials for those responsible is what they're trying to do. Now, again, I'll mention the website, chemtrails.cc. And they have a lot of information, including videos. But their latest video was taken offline and was terminated. And there's no truth then why it was terminated. Just it was terminated. And I'm thinking again, why would they do that? Why would they try to prevent information from getting out that people are, especially if there's no truth to it? Now, compounded to that, it's not just what they're putting in our air. What are they also putting in our water? Aside from what is falling from the sky from these chemtrails, what in addition are they putting into our water? Fluoride, in my understanding from what I have read, actually affects your pituitary and your pineal gland, which are key components of evolution. The effects of evolutionary change of the mind and spirit. As we evolve into higher beings of light, the pituitary and the hypothalamus and the pituitary hypothalamus and the pineal gland expand and grow and bring in light and impact and really control. They're the key components in managing the energy fields in our body. In the same way, you could say, as the heart manages and controls the blood through the circulatory system, they affect I'm looking for the word and it's not coming up. They basically affect the energy fields in our body through the lymph node systems that basically runs through our entire being. And they're key to conceptual higher knowledge and consciousness, to be able to bring those and pull those energies of light within our body and our energy fields and through our bodies and our energy fields impact and affect and bring light onto the planet and help us in the ascension process. So now let's go to the positive side of all this. I don't want to overwhelm you or leave you on a negative note because that's not the purpose. The purpose is to understand the problem. But then what do we do to change? So let's find a way that we can affect these changes. What can we do to transform this negativity into a positive thing? Well, guess what it is? It's easier than you think. Have you figured it out yet? It's called meditation. Yes, this thing that I'm always talking about, meditation is the key component to transforming everything and anything within ourselves and without. If we can transform our inner self, then we can transform our outer self. So we're getting close to the end of the program, so let me get to the point. How can we affect these changes? When we function at the multidimensional level, it allows us to connect with the divine within. And through the divine, the self-divine, the own personal divine or higher consciousness, but in reality, the divine goes beyond the higher self. And it reaches out and integrates with the holy divine or the ultimate divine that is and creator of all. that governs the force of all forces. And it is at this level, at the vibration of the frequency of the divine, that we can bring into our being the vibration. And through our being, we bring it into the environment, into the planet. And with the simple intent that we set in mind, we can affect the DNA in our body and reconstruct it. Because through our actions, through our behavior, through our words, through our thoughts, we impact the energy field. Through the energy field, persistent and continuously vibration and frequency, we impact the DNA. So as we hold negative thoughts, fear, anger, hate, frustration, stress, all of this impacts our DNA. And our DNA becomes gradually corrupt. In a way, it's like putting in a bucket of water, putting in mud, and gradually the mud sinks to the bottom, and the water may look clean, but it's not. So when we meditate, we basically break through the mud and eliminate it. We shake it up. And we actually clear it and transform it and bring the energy vibration of that mud into liquid form. And you can actually physically do that. Now, I'm not saying I have that capability, but the Bible says you can say into the mountain, go into the water, and it will. And all you have to have is the faith of a mustard seed. So we have to grow a little. We have to move up to the level of the mustard seed to clear the crap that we have inside. Get rid of that dirt. In the same way, when we exercise, we move the blood, which in turn helps to bring oxygen to all the cells and clear whatever dirt, negative vibration, or staticness or staleness within. Through the movement, we bring the energy levels up, and through meditation, through the power of the mind, we enhance this vibration and we bring it into light. By bringing the divine connection, we affect the actual smallest known particle that exists in our world, and that is the quantum particle, the quantum field. And as these particles exist beyond the realm of the physical, and when you set the intent, they manifest and integrate with the physical to produce the results that you set your intent to, whether it be healing, clearing, or bringing into alignment, all that is. The only limitation is our power of ability to affect. If I can only imagine my fingers on my hand, that is all I can affect. If I can imagine my arm, then that's all I can affect. If I can imagine my mind, that's all I can affect. If I can imagine my entire body, that is all I can affect. And by affecting the entire body, I can affect it all at once. And knowing and believing that, you do that because your belief becomes manifest. And that's what our work is all about. It's about work functioning at the quantum level, the multidimensional level, and impacting the system. So we don't have to understand what ails your body or which area of your body is ailed, but simply impact it from its deepest, most minute core, and bringing that energy that is not manifest to integrate it and manifest it to bring back life, back light, back vibration, back divinity and wisdom and light into ourselves and into the world. Now, this is the other thing that needs to happen. We need to do it constantly and continuously and consistently. Practice so that you can move beyond and transform any and all things. All things are connected at the quantum level. And at this level, all things are transformed through intent. This is the power of the divine self. This is the power of functioning at the multidimensional level. This is the power that you have to transform yourself to transform our world, transform our environment, and to heal it from the negative effects, because those are physical. We can affect it from the energy level, which is even deeper and more inert into all the things that exist. If we can connect at that level, we can transform and we can protect our world, our environment, and ourselves from these negative energies. Because everything at the basic level is that energy. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Wishing you the best. And I will hope to see you guys again. Have you here on our show, New Consciousness, New World. Esperantha Ray, your host. Have a great week. And see you next time.